Okay, it's good to be in church again this morning, and we're going to be speaking on this subject today, having Christ is everything. I want you to think about that this morning. Having Christ is everything. And I think our greatest need today amongst Christian people is to love God. Do church people really love God? Do people really love Jesus? When you're young and you're single, you see someone and you want to court them, amen? You fall in love with them, right? And you want them to be yours, right? Anybody ever had that feeling? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. When you fall in love with them, what do? Bring them flowers. My wife wouldn't. I never had no money to buy her flowers, so I took her squashes, you know. And I ain't lying. You know, hey, you know, to each his own, right? I took her squashes and butter beans, amen. When you love somebody, you do nice things for them, right? Don't you do that, folks? Do y'all understand that language? And it works both ways, right? Your wife does nice things, or your girlfriend will do nice things for you, you know. And then you get married, and she does nice things, amen? And we men, we're supposed to do nice things for them, amen? Amen? Hey, love is a powerful thing, folks. It moves you. If you love Jesus, it'll move you. If you love Jesus, you'll do what he said. If you love the Lord, you obey him. You'll live right. That's what I'm talking about today, in a way. About loving the Lord, folks. Hey, you got a mate with you this morning? Look over at your mate this morning. Look at him. Hold it now. Don't run back. Don't run away from it. Look at your mate this morning. I love you. Come on, I love you, both of you. Come on, one of you didn't say anything. Amen. Hey, we're supposed to love the Lord, folks. If you love the Lord, you live for the Lord. Amen. You live for the Lord, and you serve the Lord. So that's our thoughts. It said that the Russian leader, Putin, is the richest man in the world. Think about this godless man who believes in his Russian church would be the richest man in the world. And he's out there having people killed today. He has his own people killed when they disobey him. Not only other people, but he's said to be worth over $52 billion, the richest man in the world. He owns houses, lands, boats, and who knows what all, and he's wanting more. You know, he gets me. That man, he's got one of the biggest countries in the world, and he wants another little country about the size of Texas. And he's killing people to do it, brother. There's something wrong with somebody like that, aren't they? Yeah. Greed can never be satisfied in the heart of man because things do not satisfy. Things don't satisfy you. You always want something else. You always want more. That's greed, selfishness. The heart of man was made for God. You want more of the Lord? Well, let me tell you a little secret now. Some of these off churches, they think you got, some people's got more of the Holy Spirit than others. That's as big a lie as they've been told. Nobody has no more of the Holy Spirit than nobody else, because the Holy Spirit don't come in parts. He's a whole person, amen? When you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit. And he lives in all of us that's been born again. But the question is, how much of the Holy Spirit does he have of you? How much does the Holy Spirit have you? How surrendered are you to do the will of the Lord? That's the question with all of us today. Yeah, the heart of man was made for God, and only Jesus can satisfy the need of every heart. Only Jesus can satisfy. He takes away the restlessness. He brings contentment. Jesus Christ gives peace. Jesus Christ gives hope when it seems like you don't have hope. And unless you've really been down in life, you don't know what I'm talking about. But you can get down when it seems like there's no hope. But Jesus is hope. You can hope in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Solomon, who was the richest man of his day, was never satisfied with all the gold and the silver he owned. They were bringing him 45 tons of gold a year. Think about that much gold. One source says Solomon's wealth was over $2 trillion. If you count it like today's wealth, money system, over $2 trillion. And I understand that there's people now that have at one time had more money than that. Some people, several people. Jesus told us of how hard it was for a rich man to go to heaven in Luke 18:25. For it's easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye. That's a sewing machine needle type needle, folks. I've looked that up. It ain't talking about a gate in the wall. There's some commentators have commended. I had a professor in college that wanted to say that. Hey, I've looked it up by men that know. It's the needle that you sew with. But Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It's impossible. Because usually the rich man doesn't trust Jesus. That's the point. He trusts in his money. Remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus? Jesus said, just give all your money away and come follow me. I can't do that. Can't do that. Can't live by faith. You and I are called to live by faith, folks. Yeah. Jesus said in Matthew 6:19-21, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where the neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6, 19 through 21, I heard on the news that some of the people in Russia cannot get all their money out of the bank now. They can only get a little bit of it at a time. I'm expecting that to happen over here, Brother Chavis. First John 2:15 through 17, love not the world. The world is operated by, is under satanic control, folks. Satan is the prince of the power of the world. So Jesus said, or John wrote, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Folks, there's just untold millions of people in this world today and around us in Robeson County. They're living for what they can get out of this world. And they're just accumulating. But you know what? You can only eat so much. You can only wear one suit at a time. Amen? What we all need to learn in life is there is something much more important in life than things. Look at the yard sales people's habit. They bought so much junk, now they got it out trying to sell it to somebody else in a yard sale. First time I heard of that a few years ago, I said, well, why in the world is people selling their yards? I couldn't understand that. Then I found out people were selling various items. Some people have got to have the latest gadget or the latest clothing style. We were not put here to acquire things, but we were put here to love one another and serve one another, church. Think about our Lord Jesus Christ. What did he have when he was here for 33 years? Just the clothes on his back. He slept outdoors many times. Now, I'm not suggesting we all go camping and sleep outdoors. I'm not suggesting that. But I'm just telling you, folks, we can be over extravagant. If we could ever find that Jesus is the fairest of them all, then we would be on the road to success. If Jesus, listen to me, church, perk up, look at me. If we could just get to the place where Jesus is everything to us, it would be a different church in this country. Am I telling you right? If Jesus really meant something to us as the church today in our country has gone south. Just like I talked about that lady that come while ago. She's been out here several times in the past. And every time, same story. I backslid. Well, she's been backslid for years. She just can't get off that backsliding. She's going to some kind of a church that's not teaching her something. Amen. Folks, listen. If Jesus means anything to you today, you're to be excited loving him and serving him. Faithful to him. This book means what it says and says what it means. Amen? This is not no catalog. Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified in 1 Corinthians 2:2. Paul said there weren't nothing on his mind but Jesus. What's on our mind? What's on our mind all week? The song in Solomon's Psalm, Song 5, 10 through 13. Here's what the Shumanite girl said about Solomon when she saw him. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrhs. The Shumanite woman said about Solomon when she saw him. He was so handsome. He looked so good to her. Folks, listen, Jesus is supposed to be like that to us. He's supposed to be like that to us. Jesus is the fairest of 10,000. Jesus is our everything. Amen? Amen? What would you do today if you didn't have Jesus? Well, you look at the world today. In those places where Jesus is not wanted, them people are starving. Them people are being taken advantage of. And them people are dying and going to a devil's hell. Jesus is supposed to be our everything, the centerpiece of our heart, the centerpiece of our life. He should be the focal point of our life every day. Every day. We're supposed to walk careful before the Lord, the Bible teaches. Be careful. Jesus is not only our everything, He's our hope. I hope He comes every day. Amen? I believe that's what we're supposed to do as Christian people. We're supposed to look for the Lord to come every day and be ready. Be ready, because He could come. I wish to goodness He'd come while we were at church like this. Amen. Amen. I wish He would. Yeah, He's not only our hope, He's our life. He's our life. He's what we need. He's what we need. We had a great Sunday school lesson this morning. I hope y'all took it to heart. Good lesson, Johnny. Good lesson. We need to take it to heart. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me carefully. When we see him, what a day that's going to be, folks. We're going to be like the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos. When John saw him in his glorified state, he just collapsed before him. Let me tell you something, folks. It's going to be a time when we see him. Amen. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's going to be something to look at. Amen. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And His beauty cannot be described. Amen. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. And He's my everything. Amen. 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 Yeah, and only to Him will we bow our knees and praise Him for who He is. We won't be told to bow down. We will bow down. Amen. When we see Him. Now, the unsaved are going to be made to bow down. But if you've been saved, you're going to fall on your face and And for one time in your life, you're going to praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. Oh, that's what's missing in the churches today. We don't love Jesus like we're supposed to. We don't give him first place like we're supposed to. We come to church when it's convenient. We give when it's convenient. I'm talking about the church at large. I'm talking about the church at large. Not only is he the fairest of 10,000, but he sought out the rarest of jewels. You know that Jesus found a jewel one day. Did you know that? You know what the jewel he found? Let's talk about it a while. In Matthew 13:45. And I always encourage you to bring your Bible. Look in the Word of God. That's what you need. You need the Word of God. It's the bread of life. It's the water of life. It's our sustainer. It's what we need. So look it up. Matthew 13:45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Talks about a businessman goes out and he finds this pearl of great price. And he wanted that pearl so bad. He said he sold everything he could so he could buy that one pearl. You know what that all represents, church? Listen to me. That pearl is the church. It's the church of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ went and gave his all for the church. He bought it. And the church, made up of only born-again believers, belongs to the Lord now. He gave his all in order to own us, folks. He gave his life. He laid down his life. He shed his blood. He gave everything that he might own us. And we're going to be his bride. And we are his bride, engaged to him now, and will be a reality when the rapture takes place. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Listen, I'm telling you, we're supposed to love the Lord. We should love the Lord. But I'm telling you something. Boy, he loved us so much, he died. And yet most Christian people today, you ask them to do something, I ain't got time. I'm busy. Well, what if he hadn't give you strength? You wouldn't have been busy. I know what it is not to have any strength. Don't ever turn the Lord down if someone asks you to do something for the Lord. Yeah, I saw a blue Nile gem on the internet worth nearly $4 million. Some people go nuts over jewelry. They love different gems. Go into a jewelry store and see all the glittering gems under those lights designed to make them gems look more valuable than they really are. They just a sparkling, aren't they? All them gems just laying there glittering. And then you pick out one of them and get it out and go outside and look at it. What happened to all the sparkle? Oh, the sparkle left when you handed out the green dollars. Amen. Yeah, it's awesome what some people pay for a piece of stone. A piece of stone. earthly jewels are rare sometimes and pretty, but they will not make it to heaven, not a single one of them. Not a single one of them. Jesus saw this pearl of great price, and he gave all he had to purchase it, and it was the church. And by the way, in the Greek, I'm told by scholars, the name of the church is Margaret. Margaret. Anybody here named Margaret?
Yep.
Who?
Daniel.
She ain't in here.
No, she's here.
Okay. Think of that. Jesus is made up of born-again believers only, the church of Jesus Christ, only believers in Jesus. Not those who say they are. Only born-again believers who have repented of their sin and they trusted Jesus as their Savior. That's the church that's going to heaven. That's the church that belongs to the Lord. This is what Jesus thought of the church. It's worth dying for. He could only purchase us by giving all he had. And this is what he did. He died the most horrible death there's ever been. Oh, you say there's others being crucified. Oh, yeah. But his soul was made an offering for sin. His soul. Hey, the wrath of Almighty God fell on Jesus Christ hanging on a cross. The wrath of Almighty God fell on Jesus Christ for 3 hours. And he screamed. Scholars say it sounded like a dying bull. My God, why have you forsaken me? You know why you forsook him? Because at that moment, my sin and yours was all transferred from us and put on him. Amen. And God judged him. And I won't ever be judged for sin. Folks, I wish you'd just think about that. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you won't ever be judged for sin. You'll be judged for how faithful you serve him. We'll talk about that, Lord willing, in a moment. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins." He didn't have any. "According to the scriptures, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures." That's the gospel. And that is the only message that'll save a sinner. Amen. That he died for us. He paid for our sin. And then he conquered death. Don't you know that would have been a hallelujah day to have been a standing there when he walked out of that tomb that Easter morning? Don't you know I could have had a fit then? Amen. In Revelation 21, you might want to turn, beginning at verse 18. In the New Jerusalem, the Apostle John described some of the precious jewels, and the buildings of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Think about this in your mind, of a city. Listen, he said, the buildings of the wall was of jasper, something like our diamond today. The city was pure gold, like unto pure glass, the purest of gold. And the foundation of the walls of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth choir surpasses the 11th adjacent and the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And that's where our home is going to be at. That's the home of the bride of Christ. Oh, think about precious stones. But you know what? That's just the beauty of the place. The great wonder of the place is the Lord's going to be with us. Amen? Amen? You know what? Not only is he going to be loving us, I got some news for you. Y'all listening? We're going to love him then like we're supposed to. Amen? Amen? Amen. Those jewels that are described in the New Jerusalem will be more brilliant and precious and valuable than any that's in this world today. Besides, stones can never replace the one who loves us and gave himself for us. There may be only one rare gem or jewel, but in and of themselves, they can never love us or do anything for us. A diamond can't do anything for you. Or a ruby can't do anything for you. They're just precious, beautiful. Sometimes they satisfy our senses a little bit. But they can't do anything for you. A gem can only lie around someplace. And every day you hear tell of people breaking into rich people's houses and stealing their diamonds and their jewelry. Even our life can be in danger if we wear too valuable a gem on us. Did you know that? Yeah, especially today now. You wear something that's expensive. Somebody might run by you and snatch it off your neck. They want it that bad. Some people go insane when they see rare, expensive jewelry, and they'll plot as to how they can acquire them for themselves. I was sitting in my car years ago where old Kmart used to be at. I was just sitting in my car by myself. I reckon Faye must have been inside there somewhere. Somebody came by the car. I had the window down. I wanted to sell me a beautiful watch, a nice watch. I mean, it was a hundreds of dollars watch. They tried to sell it for nothing nearly. You know, I wouldn't accept it because I didn't feel like it was, maybe I didn't feel like they had got it the right way. I don't want no part of that. Somebody steals something, I don't want to buy it for nothing from them. You know. Because, listen, and that's happening a lot, too. You see all these guys tearing the stores down, the doors down, and going in and toting out the merchandise of business people. And they go out and sell it. There's a, down close to our house on 7th Street, there's some boys that stands on the corner selling socks. I'm scared of stuff like that. They're brand new socks, brother. Where'd they get them socks, them brand new socks? I mean, they don't grow on trees. At least I ain't never seen any on trees. Amen? I'm kind of, you know, I'm dubious of stuff like that, folks. You need to be careful. Let's don't be a part of supporting somebody that's doing something that you might be suspicious about how they got that. For such a cheap price. They'll sell it to you. And especially around Christmas time, you see that a lot. Y'all listening to me? One of them is listening today. Let me tell you something. One day the Son of God came and laid his life down on the cross to pay for the sin of the world. That whosoever would believe in him would have everlasting life. I want you to know there's only one Savior. Amen. Only one Savior. And he's what I need and not a gem. I need a Savior. I need a Savior. Do you need a Savior? Amen. Why do I need a Savior? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How do I know? He said you have. Amen. He's already said, I've sinned. He already knows about it. Ain't no point me arguing with it. Amen. No matter where you go in heaven or earth or under the earth, there is no other Savior than Jesus Christ. God gave man one Savior and one Savior alone. It's not Buddha, nor Confucius. It's not found with Jehovah's Witnesses, nor with Mormons, nor with Islam. God gave one Savior alone. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's probably the most hated verse in the Bible. Amen. Because unregenerate man thinks there's more than one way to God. But there's not. I had a professor in college call me out in college in an English class. There's more than one way to God. They were a Unitarian, but they're not but one way to God, and that's Jesus Christ, folks. Just because you're educated don't mean you're right. God had only one son. And he gave him to this world of sinners to be our Savior so we all might redeem if we would just believe in him. Are you sure you believe in Jesus? Are you sure you really turned your life over to the Lord and you're trusting the Lord for salvation? Think of this. God Almighty, the Holy One of eternity, gave his only Son to die for sinners like you and me, so we might live and live with God for eternity, folks. Folks, we're not talking about living 50 years or 100 years. We're talking about living forever, Brother Chavis. We're talking about living and never dying. What about it, church? Only the born again is going to experience that. Only the born again. And we ought to love God. We ought to love Jesus. We ought to realize we've been bought with a price. We no longer belong to ourselves. Not my will, but thine be done, Jesus said. Even Jesus prayed that. And he was the Son of God. Amen? There's only one Jesus. And this Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings. And the Apostle John wrote about him in Revelation 19 that when he comes at his second coming, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. My Lord is coming one of these days, and when he makes war, there's not going to be no casualties on his side. But everybody on the other side's going to be dead. Amen. 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 The Bible says his eyes will be as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations. Jesus Christ is going to smite every nation in the world when he comes back at the second coming, not at the rapture, the second coming, at the end of the tribulation. Every nation with unsaved people in it will be slaughtered right then. Right then will be the end of all sinners. The Bible says, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fiercest and the wrath of Almighty God. He'll set up his kingdom then, and for 1,000 years he's going to rule and reign in peace and prosperity. The farmers will plant their fields, and boy, you talk about a crop. Woo! They're going to produce that 1,000 years. What a crop there's going to be by the poor old farmers that's had it so rough, folks. Yeah, following him upon those white horses, we, the church, the bride of Christ, will be with him. And what are we going to get to see? We're going to see all of our enemies that has plotted against us, worked against us, took advantage of us. We're going to see them all defeated. Amen. When the Lord Jesus Christ just speaks, that'll be the end of them. Amen. We're going to be there as a witness. Amen. What a day that's going to be. When we see all the enemies of both man and God, then be cast into the lake of fire at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. We're going to see that happen too. You think about the billions of people screaming as they're being thrown into the lake of fire to spend eternity. Why? They were not wise enough to repent of their sin. They thought they were good enough. How many times have I heard someone say, I'm as good as them people down at the church? Well, of course you are. But there's nobody at church any good either, according to the Bible. There's none good. We're not going to heaven because we're good or better or more important. We're going to heaven because Jesus Christ died and paid for my sin, and I accept him. And I've been clothed in his righteousness. I'm not going to heaven by anything I do. I'm going because of what he did. He did it all. He even gave me the faith to believe when I heard the word. I don't contribute nothing to salvation, and you don't either. You hear the word, you either believe or you don't believe. It changes your life or it doesn't change your life. Boy, what I'm going to like is when he cast that old devil in there, amen, and his demons. Yeah. There's going to be no more wars, no more enemies, no more sin, and love will fill the hearts of all those who are in heaven. Folks, let us love Jesus now. Let us love the Lord now. Put him first in your life now. Give yourself over to him now. It'll be the best day of your life when you surrender all. I love that song, I Surrender All. Don't you try to sing it at us. Not today. I surrender all. When you surrender all, you fall deep in love with the Lord. You fall in love with the Lord. Think of this, no more funerals one day. No more crying. Have you cried lately? You ever cry to the Lord? No more separations for God's children. We won't be separated from our loved ones. Won't that be something? Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work," talking about believers only now, "shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." You and I are going to a judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. Not to be judged for sin. I've already talked about that briefly. We're going to be judged to see how faithful I serve the Lord. What have I did for the Lord? What have I done for Jesus? That's going to be determined. And then it'll be determined if I did anything worthy of any kind of reward. Any foundation a person builds their life upon will not meet the approval of God. Just any foundation. Listen to me carefully. There's only one foundation we can build upon that'll meet God's approval. A foundation upon Jesus Christ alone. If your foundation is riches, they will not meet God's approval. You see, Putin with $52 billion doesn't impress God. You know why? Listen to me. That $52 billion is God's money. Putin is misusing. Do you hear me? Man don't own no money. It's all God's money. This world is God's. And God even made you. We don't own nothing. The shirt on your back is not yours. It's God. He's letting you use it. And we're so proud. Look what I've got. Well, you got to give an account how you got it and your attitude with it. If your foundation is fame, that'll not meet God's approval either. You might be the most popular person in all the world. Don't impress God a bit. Your foundation might be popularity. I'm a popular person. That don't meet God's approval either. If your foundation is achievement, look at all the things I've done. Boy, I am talented. Don't impress God a bit. Guess where you got your talents from, church? They all come from God. You could be laying up in a bed with a feeding tube in you all your life from the day of your birth if it weren't for the grace of God. Are y'all listening to me today? You better love God for blessing you, for loving you. Only Jesus' death, burial, resurrection meets the approval of God in which to build your life. If you build your life on anything but Jesus Christ, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. Any other foundation will not be accepted by God, no matter what one argues. Yeah, people outside the church, they can find all kind of things wrong with us. That's all right. That's all right. The Lord takes care of all the dirty work one day anyway. Amen. building lives, our lives on the right foundation will ensure we not only receive salvation, but we're going to receive rewards. God gives us our salvation by faith in Jesus. He gives it to us. And let me tell y'all something. I'm not the most learned guy in the world. As Brother Chavis likes to say, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But this I do know. If you've been saved, you've been saved. That's what the word saved means. You can't get lost. How can you get lost if you've been saved and given eternal life? And see, how many churches are teaching you can lose your salvation? Just like that poor woman come out here this morning. She don't know anything, and I'm not judging her. She don't know anything that she needs to know to have her, to have peace in her heart and in her life. Am I telling it right? I tell you what, I've done a lot of reading in my life. I know the Greek word for saved means sozo, and it means saved. And when you're saved, you're saved. But if you want a reward, you got to earn it. You got to work for it. You got to serve. You got to love the Lord. You got to live right if you get a reward. Because the Bible says there's going to be some standing there embarrassed. Because they were saved and they didn't get anything. That thief on the cross that died and asked Jesus to remember him. What did he do for Jesus? He ain't going to get no reward. He didn't do nothing. He just got saved, Brother Johnny. At least he got saved, amen. He won't burn in hell. I'm winding down. Just give me, well, maybe another hour to take care of it. Do you understand by the way you live today will determine if you get any rewards when you get to heaven? It'll also determine if you hear the Lord say, well done, my good and faithful servant. It'll determine that. Supporting God's work is important. Faithfully attending church is important. Loving God's word is important. Studying it. Using your gifts, your talents. What's your gifts, your talents to help get out the gospel? We're not all gifted alike. We have different gifts for the Lord. Walking humbly before the Lord among men is so important. These are just some of the ways we can earn rewards as we serve the Lord. And this last scripture from 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2 says this. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We're supposed to be faithful. Faithful to Jesus. Why would we be faithful? Because you love him. We come back to where we started. Because we love the Lord, we're faithful. If we're not faithful, we're not loving the Lord. So how is it with us today? Can I give more? Jesus gave all. Can I give more of myself to the Lord? Can I surrender all? Jesus surrendered all. I'm just challenging you, church. The greatest need in Christ's church in this sin-sick world today, the greatest need, we need to love the Lord. We need to love the Lord. If you love the Lord, you'll serve the Lord. You talk about the Lord when you get out of church. Think about it. Think about how much he loves you. And think about it this way. You love him because of who he is, the Holy One. But he loves you, and you're a sinner. Think about that kind of love. Loving God, thank you for the time you gave us today, the opportunity you gave us today. Lord, we just wanted to challenge all of us in church today to love the Lord. And the only way to love the Lord is not only to love him, but we prove it by the way we live, by the way we share him with others, encouraging others to get in church, encouraging others to trust the Lord. That we just don't take for granted that we're saved and that's all we got to do, worry about ourselves. No, our responsibility is to share Christ, get out the word in every way and means that we possibly can. Bless, Lord, I love our body of believers here, Lord. Bless them, Lord. I want them to come before the judgment seat of Christ and hear the Lord just bless them with rewards for loving you and serving you, Lord. So we challenge them today in the name of Jesus, Lord. Bless us and add to this body of sheep, Lord, that we might extend our borders and reach out and share the good news of Christ with others. And for your honor, your glory, and forgive us and cleanse us from our many failures and shortcomings, I pray in the precious name of Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. As always, at the end of a service, we invite you to the altar. I just believe in the old-time way, coming to the altar and kneeling at the altar before the Lord.